Wednesday, March 9th, 2016. This is the Spec 11 Security Framework Drafting Team face-to-face. We are in Diamond Room, and this session will run from 1300 to 1450 local time. Testing audio for phone participants. If you could say a few words.
That's Alan Woods here, registry co-chair. How are you?
That is great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have the conference bridge connected to the LAB Connect? Do we have participants remotely?
Yeah, here Fabian, Alan here.
Hi Alan, thanks for joining. Can you hear us well?
Not at all, thanks. I can, there's a bit of an echo on the line, but that's about it.
Okay, well hopefully this will be worked out as we move along our session.
Ah yeah. Perfect, thank you Fabian.
Okay, so let's get started. Sorry for the delay. It took a few minutes to get set up here. Because we have Alan joining remotely, and we may also have other remote participants. Actually, we have quite a number, I see, in the Adobe Connect. So welcome to this session of the Security Framework Drafting Team. Let me move quickly to the agenda. So we'll provide a quick background and status of this effort. The co-chairs who are to my right, and also remotely, as you just heard. Oh, there's some movement on the slides here, sorry. We'll be introducing the session after I've provided a quick background, and then drafting team members will be discussing the topics that they selected before this meeting. And finally, we'll look at next steps and the timeline of this effort. So in terms of background, as a reminder, this initiative stems from the Beijing GAC advice, which identified security checks as one of the six safeguards applicable to all new gTLDs. There were two components to that safeguard, and they were the identification of threats on the one hand and the response to identified threats on the other hand. The NGPC resolution of June 2013 took up that advice and did the following two things. On the one hand, it included in the registry agreement the specification 11 section 3B to cover the identification of threats. And as far as the response to identified threats, it solicited community participation to develop a framework. And this is what this framework is about. So staff, registries, and the GAC have, there's been a round of consultation that you can see here that was quite extensive and led to the formation of this framework drafting team to address this development of the framework for registry operators to respond to identified threats. The framework is composed of about 45 representatives. The numbers are might have changed in the last few days because we've seen a new interest in the initiative, but that's to give you an idea of the scale of the participation. So again, registries, PSWG, and registrar representatives. In terms of the objective, which was agreed upon by the drafting team, it is to build collaboratively and in the spirit of mutual agreement a reference set of non-binding standards grounded in industry experience, accepted best practices, and consultation with relevant communities. It should be noted that there are two tracks ongoing currently. We are here dealing with the framework for registry operators to respond to security threats, while ICANN, the registries, and the PSWGs are also currently outside of this framework drafting team here, discussing an advisory to clarify the current language of specification event 3B. So I want to make sure that it's clear to everyone that the framework is one track, and it's not dealing with contractual requirements. It's dealing with the request from the NGPC to develop a framework for registry operators to respond to security threats. And the clarification advisory is really about the contractual language. And that's another type of initiative, another conversation that's happening in parallel. Those two initiatives are separate, but they're certainly complementary in terms of the final objective to reduce, as some would say, the level of badness in TLDs. So unless there are any comments or questions on this topic, I'm going to move along our agenda. I'm looking at the chat. Antonia can confirm that we don't have... Actually, yes, before we move on to the co-chair's opening remarks, let me just provide here a quick status in terms of the progress we've made. In the background, I've referred to the consultation, which is the first line you see on this diagram. It led to, after the ICANN 53 meeting in Buenos Aires, to the formation of this framework drafting team, which initiated its work last summer. The framework, the registries have created a first draft of the framework, which was shared with the PSWG in December, and there's been back and forth since then. And here we are at ICANN 55 in this face-to-face meeting. So let me now turn on to the co-chairs for their opening remarks. We'll start with Alan. Alan, this is, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much. And thank you all for coming today. And apologies I'm not there in person, but I seem to have missed the memo that it went from Dublin to Marrakesh. But anyway, just to say apologies from my side as well, that we have, obviously the ball is currently in our court. We are still digesting and hopefully getting to an end point with the comments from the PSWG. As Fabian just mentioned there, the document itself, we put together a document in the group, and then the registries went off into the huddle and tried to figure out what exactly, make sure we had a consensus and made sure that we were happy with what was in it. That went then to the PSWG, who came back with some very, very good comments. But as there are 30 registries currently involved, we needed time to digest, respond, and make changes as is necessary. So we have been doing that. In the middle of it, unfortunately, Yasmin was no longer able to carry on at the moment as the co-chair of the registries, so I'm standing in for her. So again, that was another a slight delay on my behalf as I came back up to speed. So where it stands at the moment is that we have given reactions and our comments and made changes in the document, and we have provided them to the PSWG. And we do want to talk to the PSWG about, I suppose, the reasoning behind some of the changes, but also a reason behind some of the changes that we did not accept on that. I think all the registries are very, very... conscious of the fact that, you know, the relationship with the PSWG when dealing with abuse is a very important one, and I think we really need to be able to show what a registry can do in this position, in this particular instance. Also, to highlight, you know, what we would usually do, open new avenues for future for consultation with the PSWG and, of course, registries and registrars and resellers as necessary. And that's why it's taken that little bit of time, because we wanted to come back as being as supportive as possible while still making sure that we are within scope of the actual efforts itself. So hopefully this will start moving quickly enough as time goes by. We're almost at the end point. I think we all need to sit down and talk with the PSWG, and then it can return the document to the full group for the next steps. So that's kind of where we're at the moment, and looking forward to the discussions that arise today as well.
Thank you, Alan. John, would you like to go ahead?
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. So John Flaherty, PSWG co-chair from the UK National Crime Agency. Just to reiterate Alan's comments, since ICANN 54 in Dublin, we've seen a first registry draft, which was a trigger for discussion, prompting feedback from the PSWG in mid-January 2016. We've just received that feedback now. We understand that the registry co-chair has been derailed slightly due to domestic circumstances, which is totally acceptable. So thanks for stepping in for Yasmin there, Alan. But hopefully, having skimmed on Monday and yesterday, the registry response to PSWG feedback, hopefully we've got some topics for discussion on the slides today to further the framework and bring out those discussion points a little bit more, namely around timescales for responses, law enforcement, PSWG referrals of security threats, and some wider definition and wording of threats in the framework. So we still see this in terms of the PSWG ambition as an opportunity to collaborate with ICANN, registries and registrars on a voluntary framework basis without the need for contracts. And we also welcome the Healthy Domain Initiative that we were looking at this morning in the main forum. And that also triggers continuous engagement post-framework in terms of timely self-industry regulation and working with industry, particularly on sharing identified threat information. You know, we want to take that forward as well, both within and outside ICANN circles. Thanks.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Theo Geurts. I'm with Real-Time Register, a registrar in the Netherlands. And when it comes to the opening remarks, actually with what Alan just said and what Jonathan just said, I can only echo that. And when I just look at the process, which we started a couple of months ago, and where we are at now, I see a very collaborative approach between the registries and the public safety work group, and I see also more and more progress and collaboration, like I just said, is fantastic. And I'll keep it with that. Thank you, Fabian.
Thank you, Theo. Thank you, the co-chairs, for your introduction. So let's now delve into our discussion. So here is the first set of topics that you have selected. So can I leave it to one of you guys to lead the discussion there? Let's start with the first one, the topic of the definitions.
Okay, John speaking. The first definition for discussion is something in the framework that the registry has put forward. It's mentioned on a couple of sections, and it talks about defining a threat as severe. So just to make comments on that, we were asked today to maybe give a PSWG opinion of what a severe threat is. It's quite a difficult one, but I'll attempt to define that. Talk about maybe a number of factors that classify a threat and the current intelligence that maybe indicates the likelihood of an attack, indicates a compromise and the priority around the threat and the proportionality of an increased threat met by increased registry resources to respond to it. So just looking at classifying and prioritising a threat across different crime types, of course, you know, the Spec 11 framework is aimed at specific types of abuse, namely phishing, farming, botnet, malware activity. So how do you define that as a severe threat and levels of severity? So maybe a number of variables, and on a case-by-case basis, there's a two-way process here, the PSWG and industry exchange threat data. and the current intelligence might dictate something is more of a priority to react to, proact to, than another piece of criminal activity. There may be on the back of that intelligence wider input to determine the severity of the threat, for example, CERT guidance. There may be wider industry reports, AV reports, for example, that determine, I don't know, the fluxing of DNS hosting of malware activity at the C2C level. There may also be volume versus impact indicators as well to determine the severity of a threat. You know, volume registration spikes within a new GTLD in a very short time scale may lead to a severe threat longer down the line in terms of the launch of a spam campaign, and the impact of those volume registrations are more victims, more financial loss, you know, potentially collateral criminality there in terms of other types of criminality pushed through the spam, such as illicit pharma. So there's no real definition here. It's probably a case-by-case basis, an agreement in terms of a registry's visibility matched and corroborated with what we see in the PSWG, and making sure we stay on top of that. There could be potentially, in terms of substantial risk of harm, things that are not necessarily in Spec 11B, but in terms of the Healthy Domains Initiative today, there's a wide range of crimes that we're looking at combating. You know, so risk of harm, threat to life, child sexual exploitation, again, may not be technical in nature, but they still might carry a level of severity or urgency to be dealt with. In terms of the response to any threat, I think the volume and impact or the current intelligence that dictates the level of the threat must be met by a proportionate level of resources as well. That's not just the responsibility of a registry and a registrar. We talked about, and it's probably further along the slides, certain triggers in the framework. One is a referral by a registry to the PSWG. If there's a lack of understanding or there's a need for more resources to combat a threat, and we've also noted in the framework in combating a severe threat and issuing a wider alert to registries, we can use the expedited registry services request process, where registries can really call upon colleagues and partner agencies for threat visibility and engage technical minds as well in terms of, for example, the best response to dealing with a botnet. You know, and working smarter and harder than the criminals to combat the threat landscape. So it's a little bit of a grey area. I wouldn't want to... I'm not really... in terms of the severity of the threat, unless there is a better definition or a better label of what the threat is, for example, a heightened threat, a more urgent threat... It's kind of a non-issue in terms of terminology for the PSWG. I think everybody knows that severe means more important, more urgent. So we're happy with the terminology, but we just wanted to give you our comments on what we think it means. Thanks.
Thanks. Thanks,
can I jump in there, Fabien?
Yes, please. And we have also Maxim in the queue in the room.
Do you want to go to Maxim first? I don't mind.
You're remote, so you get priority. Let me say that.
Oh, thank you. Okay, well, I just wanted to say, I suppose first things, the reason why we put it in just as a matter of a discussion was that it was flagged in the PSWG comment as they wanted to consider what was severe. So we did actually put a good amount of thought and discussion into that, and ultimately came to the exact same conclusion as John just went to there. It really does come down to the individual circumstances of what is occurring. And again, taking into account, we wanted to be mindful of the fact that, you know, sometimes, well, most of the times, you know, the person dealing with abuse within a registry is not a member of law enforcement and is not necessarily an expert of any great merit in that area. So we have taken that into account, I suppose, as we went back and referred to in several areas about how we can consult with public or public safety officials, law enforcement, or indeed members of the PSWG. Again, noting that there is a need for collaboration. We can't just take it on our own shoulders as well. So I completely agree with John, and I'm glad that we seem to be very much on the same page on that. Just purely because it is linked, and apologies if I'm jumping a teensy bit forward in this, but again, with referral to the Public Safety Working Group, this has come up again. I believe it came up in the law enforcement and registrar session on Monday as well. One thing that we really need to put down is a list of contacts. Who should we contact in the event of needing to contact the PSWG? It was said at that last session, just contact local law enforcement and they should be able to refer you to the specialist units, which, is true in many countries, but in other countries, and I would include Ireland in this, where there is a huge majority of a very rural police force as well, it could cause issues. So, again, if we can get more of an indication and a centralised, then I'm sure, speaking as an abuse contact for a registry, I would be more than happy to deal with that. So I was hoping that, that is reflected in the current draft and look forward to being able to flesh that out as we go forward as well.
Thank you, Alan. And before John maybe provide some input on the trusted contact and what can be done in that area, let me just go to Maxime and then we'll come to you. Maxime, do you want to go ahead? Sorry.
Just small note that the initiative about healthy domains, actually it's not all registries. It's just initiative. We shouldn't refer to it too often, because some of those initiatives are only partially applicable to some of registries. The second thing, as I understand, you referred to mass registrations. And actually, mass registrations where you expect large amounts of data registered by the same person the same day, it's typical for Sunrise and Landrush. And all registries who are in general ability pass through it. So it's quite normal, so we should be careful about definitions here. And third thing, as I understand, Public Safety Work Group is combined from GAC representatives and law enforcement representatives from particular countries. Am I right?
Yeah, and what we call public safety agencies as well, so it's a real mixture.
A follow-up to that. Is it possible to understand representative GAC representative of which countries and law enforcement agencies are in this work group currently?
I'll take that answer. That information is available on the GAC section of the ICANN website.
Nick, do you mind stating your name just for the transcript?
This is Nick Shoy for the record, UK GAC.
So, John, I believe Alan was referring to the work that the registries are seeking in terms of the PSWG trusted contacts. Do we have any input to provide on that topic today, or would it be for further discussion?
It's probably one for further discussion. Just to clarify, we have a small representation. Of civil and law enforcement agencies that make up the Public Safety Working Group, which is in itself an advisory group positioned, as a aligned to the GAC to address a range of issues. In terms of reporting and referral, and whether that be dependent on country, dependent on crime type, dependent on threat information, a referral to a local civil or national law enforcement agency is undecided at the moment. I know in the past, Interpol, as in RAA past negotiations, where this question has cropped up, has been seen to be a body that has central administrative control for referral to the right person, the right agency. And we really, we might have to take that one away and come back either on the mailing list or at the next session, our next conference call, just to better define an agency. How we'll respond to a referral. And we probably have our own timescales there as well. So that one's probably a work in progress.
Alan, in your discussion of the definition and referral topics, did you want to put some specific proposal to discuss with the PSWG in this meeting, or did you just intend to provide an update and for future consideration?
It because it is one of those things that's it's kind of mentioned every so often. I think it is still for further discussion. And I mean, I completely appreciate, I'm assume most people do, that it's not as simple as, you know, compiling a list of phone numbers that you ring the closest one to. But I definitely think it is worthwhile because, as I said, be more than happy to contact in times of need. It's just the question I always answer as well, who do I contact and how do I get to the core person that I need to talk to as soon as possible, again, when timescales are involved. So it is more just, again, for noting and again for discussion, and absolutely, I think, work towards that. I don't think that we have a proposal per se, and I don't think the registries are in a position to create that proposal at this moment anyway. It really is in the PSWG and law enforcement in court in that one. But we'll support them any way we can.
Okay, and so John, making sure, in terms of the what's been included in the current registry's draft, are there any specific elements that you'd like to see revised? Or I understand you've provided a lot of comment in terms of the severity of threats and some ideas of what could be considered, so I think that's going to be come back and worked on in the next iterations. But are there here on those elements any additional comments you'd like to make? So I think there's been progress on each of those topics in the latest version. So I just want to make sure that before we move on, we've kind of looked at those and addressed them, so we can move on. But I just want to check.
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm happy to, yeah. Thanks.
Okay, so then we're moving on to timeliness of response. John, do you want to take that one?
Yeah, John speaking. This is an interesting one for us, and it does start to be prescriptive in terms of putting a time frame and a number, i.e. a 24-hour time frame to a registry to respond to security events. I've read the feedback and having spoken to Alan on this, and also having had some good feedback from GTLD registries we've spoken to this year. If you look at the complexity of a crime and the no one size fits all, ICANN guiding principle that says every registry is potentially different and has different capabilities, which is also, I think, that's been expanded in the limitation of scope of the framework from the latest registry feedback as well. You know, we're quite happy to potentially revisit this and make sure that if there is a specific threat that might take greater than 24 hours for technical analysis to be examined and come back, you know, we'd be flexible on a timescale. Ultimately, what I'd like to say on in terms of time frame, it's just to push forward again threat definition. A threat hasn't happened yet. It's not an event, and it's not an incident that we're responding to. It's about stopping something from happening in the first place. So we should really be aiming for 0 hours. So it could go the other way in terms of a time frame. It might be wise not to put a time frame on it, but put something that's reasonable in terms of a response. So in the next couple of weeks, hopefully, Alan will be reviewing the feedback in greater detail and providing a response there. So we understand that dependent on that type of crime and the threat, one registry might have more capability and might work quicker than another.
Thanks, John. Alan, would you like to comment on the timeliness of response to security threats?
Yeah, I mean, obviously this is one of those areas that, you know, registries are going to be very cautious about, because, again, we can't just say a threat to review will take 24 hours. A response to a threat, you know, could be something as simple as well as saying, yes, we have received a notification, you know, and that's clearly not what we're talking about in this instance. So I'm very happy to hear that, you know, there is an appreciation that, you know, every single registry is different. Every single approach to dealing with security threats is in its own right different. But as long as we, again, approach every single threat as we receive proportionally to, again, severity, to the actual timeliness of the threat itself, and see how that pans out, absolutely. So, look, I look forward to discussing in more detail, and I'm quite confident that both registries, PSWG, and other members of the framework team can come to an agreement on this and something that can be workable going forward.
Excellent. Thank you, Alan. Any comments around the table? Maxi?
No. Maxim Azobo, for the record, on the particular time frame of response. Actually, we in our contract have something called material change to a contract. If something causes us to spend large amount of money to do something, most probably we will call it a material change, because if you expect us to have, like, during public holidays, highly paid security experts to be online, most probably it will cost us money. And as we asked questions to Fabian, it's not going to be sponsored by ICANN. So it will cause more burden on us from financial side of things. And it will have to be negotiated separately. Because either way, you expect us to do, pardon me, part of your job. And we do not have things you can use. We are not authoritative to anyone. We're just a commercial company, not-for-profit. So it's the reason most registries are not eager to have firm hours of responses. Because we can do whatever, the best effort. But we can't say that, yes, in 24, like 88 hours, we deliver you the guy who did it. It's not reasonable to expect it from us.
Yeah, John speaking. I think it's just a repeat from me again. No one size will fit all. Some registries, I believe, are going way further than the Spec 11 requirement. There is a commercial incentive for registries to be involved in cybersecurity now as well. So there's a commercial gain there. There are also, in an ideal world, if we're collaborating here, what one registry doesn't know or have the visibility or resources to tackle, you know, a bigger registry might already have seen some of that, a smaller registry might have had an incident, and relevant current intelligence, if we can feed into that, will all add to the mix to give that best effort response, and that's what we're looking for, really. It's kind of doing what you can when you can, with no minimum standard, and if you can give more, and you're commercially set up to do that as a registry, we should be flexible around the response.
John, would you like to comment?
Sure. Thanks, John Nevitt from Donuts. Welcome your comments. That's great. One size doesn't fit all. I think the concerns that some registries have had with some of these processes, having it under the ICANN tent and having it come from, have a compliance element to it, is that there's incentive to go for the least common denominator. And we want to be more aspirational. We want to aspire to something better. We want to do more. And those of us who can do more, have the resources to do more, we want to help the others in our industry do more as well. So, we mentioned Healthy Domains Initiative as something that the industry is getting together to help not only promote the good things we're already doing, as you mentioned, but help attack issues that are of concern to all of us as a community. So we're very happy you're here, very happy you're of your comments, and we look forward to working together on this, but also more importantly as an industry in the process and working with law enforcement in that capacity as well and others in the industry that have concerns and have had issues that we all want to react to together as a community. So thank you.
Any comments remotely on the topic of the timeliness of response? I see that we have a comment from Matthias. Do you want to go ahead?
So we have one comment from Matthias Pfeiffer with DOT Berlin. What does respond mean in this context? To take action in some way, to resolve something, or really just to respond to an email? My proposal is to talk about taking action within a given time frame.
Alan, can you provide a bit of color as to whether that would fit into the current draft or whether that's already reflected in the draft, or would there be some work around that area to discuss?
I mean, the way the current draft does read is that it is a response. It doesn't define necessarily what a response is, so it could be, in effect, the entire spectrum of a mere response, an escalation. We do take into account escalation points, referral to PSWG, and I mean, taking action is there, but again, it's to be honest, it's just as nebulous as would be response, and I think response is a little bit more, we are required to respond to a security threat. Not to take action on a security threat. We're required under Spec 11.3b to report on actions taken, but not necessarily anything else. So I think response is in there as a high-level indicator. It is taken into account in the draft, certainly in the sense of once you read the entire document, you become to understand what a response is from a registry or from any other person's point of view. I take it on board, but I think we can't redefine that. I think that's going specifically to scope. We need to keep it to response, is my gut instinct on that.
Yeah, I just think on all of the issues, really, in terms of a PSWG-type agency, ultimately, the way you respond to an incident or the crime prevention in an area affects the reputation of your brand or your law enforcement practice. So, I'm not sure we're gonna get it right in the framework prescriptively here. So maybe we just have to just revisit some of these topics on the screen at the moment. Just so we've got that generic commitment to say we will respond, we will reduce the uptime in different crime types. We will technically analyse as best we can, and the framework generically, I think, shows that commitment now. One example is to expand the appendix and show me what good looks like in terms of a registry response to a few Spec 11B listed crime types.
Can I just come in one thing there as well, just on what you said? One thing we must remember as well is that there needs to be an appreciation that one actor in this particular area cannot make a complaint or an abuse disappear. You know, we all play a part in the grand puzzle of abuse mitigation. So, you know, this is the framework for registry's response. You know, we can't say that we are going to fix this. We are not in a position to be the only people to fix it, but we can, again, respond. So come back to that. Sorry, it just occurred to me and I have to say it.
So should we, since John, you mentioned these example responses, do we want to talk about those? Or
I can go to that if you want.
Yeah, I think we should, unless anybody would like to discuss the previous topic, I think we could move to the candidate topics for inclusion in the framework. And those two listed here, the example responses to security threats, as John mentioned, and the automated preventative measures implemented by registries. Alan, would you like to speak to the first one?
Sure, absolutely. So when it came to sample responses, again, because the registries were, we wanted to show how a registry responds, and I suppose a part of this is also highlighting the part and the role played by the registry in the general sphere of ICANN and of the DNS life. We wanted to say, hey, let's show what we would do currently. You know, a response or an abuse has come across our desks in the past, and how did we respond to that? And then provide maybe a sample of how that response went. And the issue was is when we asked the question to the group, not many people were able to hand on heart say, yeah, I have a clear-cut sample to date that would really fit well in here and be able to demonstrate. And again, it goes to the difference between each and every abuse as it comes across our desk. They're all different. But that being said, we are attempting to come together and provide some sample responses to show it from the registry point of view, and that I think would be very helpful in the appendix. And again, this is something that could be built upon. You know, we always talk about this as being a dynamic document going forward. Absolutely. I think we would like to put in our experience to date and then we'll see what happens in the future. But we are definitely working on that as trying to show the role that we can play and what we are playing at the moment.
Yeah, John speaking. We're very much led, Alan, by industry in terms of that. We have our own ideas on abuse monitoring and management. You know, as the law enforcement agency that I work, we thrive on current, potentially accurate and actionable intelligence in responding to the threat and predicting what's coming around the corner there. What we struggle to do, and we're going into timeframes of response and your own workflows and how your back-end registries maybe affect technical analysis. It's very difficult for us to put forward anything other than a threat. We can't really predict a registry response, but any best practice that's out there, past case studies, that could maybe be alluded to in some sort of annex, would make the document an education piece for some people in law enforcement that don't understand the role of the registry and how the registrar also links into that in terms of mitigation, in terms of identifying and responding to a threat, in terms of visibility. And that would really help us at the referral stage if that happens. If the document does have some sort of flow and some best practice at the bottom of it, when that referral happens, people outside the public safety working group who are less educated, they have a kind of signpost and a template. And again, you know, I'm pretty sure the Healthy Domains Initiative and the best practice that goes on there can only complement that. So, again, it's probably a work in progress.
Yeah. I just say the lawyer in me and the stickler in me is just saying we have to be very careful with the use of the term best practice because, I mean, we're not establishing a best practice here. It is a framework, but I completely agree with what you're saying. I'm just being pedantic. I think, you know, there is an assumption by some people that we're jumping in and we're mapping out processes that are currently in place, which is not necessarily true. We are all starting really much from the same point. And I think this is all the point of the collaboration going forward, is that we're saying, okay, let's work together. Let's figure out how we do this. So I think that is reflective in the fact that we just don't have, you know, very solid case studies per se, but we certainly can provide, this is what we would expect would be a response. Again, not a best practice, not a template response, but definitely a sample of a response. And as I said, I would really look, and I think a lot of registries would agree with me on this, is that, you know, there is an evolution here, and that can evolve with greater education, as you say, education by us, by law enforcement and public safety, and by, you know, as these abuses arise, and also the other way around, for us to educate our particular role in the space and what we can genuinely do. And, of course, in reference to the HDI as well, voluntary things, even though this is outside of this, it is certainly something that is complementary. And again, you know, talking about technical analysis, you mentioned there as well. I mean, that is obviously the Spec 11B, 3B advisory, which is underway. And we were at the meeting there this morning as well. You know, that is separate. And the actual analysis side of it is separate. Again, we need to limit this to the responses only as well. But again, yes, absolutely. This is an evolution.
John speaking. Just going on to the next bullet point, automated and preventative measures implemented by registries. I think we're on the same page here across the working group. Just before the first registry draft document, the PSWG came forward with just some options, an options paper in terms of... I'd hate to say best practice, but certain feeds, certain measures you could take when conducting technical analysis, certain reputation services to use. They were pretty much non-prescriptive. A lot of them were not-for-cost feeds as well, so we were trying to make sure they were available to all. Yesterday we had the ICANN Spec 11 3B advisory in a closed session, and we've now seen the advisory. We've seen the document so far in terms of types of technical analysis, types of threat metrics, and use of reputation services that might be deployed. And I think they mirror the initial options paper that we put forward. I'd like to see a little bit of that expanded on in the framework, just so every document aligns and there's consistency. You know, and it could trigger wider, what wider use sort of those kinds of services, really. Maybe even across, you know, if we're talking HDI, we're talking CCTLDs, using the same practices. It'd be a shame not to kind of transfer some of that into the voluntary framework as well. So, thanks. Sorry, Alan.
No, I was just going to say that, yeah, I mean, in the last draft and our comments we put in, we took out, I suppose, specific references to, I suppose, automated features per se, because, again, we are focusing on the response, and that particular automated feature does not necessarily, what we're talking about there does not necessarily fit in well with the scope. However, that being said, we are drawing reference to the other endeavours. Now, we haven't mentioned the HDI again because it's such early, but we have mentioned the Spec 11 3B advisory. And I mean, that's at early stages anyway, but we have still put in a reference to that because, again, we need to, you know, there needs to be an appreciation that this is, again, another one part of the entire process itself, and there are other dependent and related documents as well. So, yes, I agree. With regards to domain service or the reputation providers, it's not really relevant, I suppose, for me to talk about this at the moment, but it is a definite bugbear as of late, of the last few days, considering some of the discussions and reports and things that have been reported as of late. And again, my biggest issue with them, I mean, we use them, obviously, we use them, but we still have no transparency as to what standards, where are they getting their information from, how are the statistics compiled, what do the statistics even mean? I mean, we have they come out with these lovely flashy headings, but no substance that we can ground anything on. But, I mean, they are the source that we like, and, I mean, absolutely, they're the only source available, more to the point. I still think we need a lot more clarity and a lot more development from whomever it may be to figure out who are the trusted, who are the correct, and need some sort of transparency in that as well. But as I said, that's me going a little bit off scope and a little bit ranty, so apologies.
So I think we've covered most of the topic that all the topics we wanted to cover. I think we've discussed the LTE domain initiative in several instances, and I think this topic here was inserted before that was the update that you were in this afternoon or this morning. So unless there are any questions or comments, I'm looking at the chat. I don't see any activity. So let me move on to our next slide, and which is the last one, and which is about the next steps for our work. So you've seen, I've showed the first half of these diagrams, and now I'm looking at the bottom of it after ICANN 55 face-to-face meeting. So we're hoping that the framework drafting team can get to a final draft that's agreed upon among the various constituents of the drafting team by the end of April, so that we can initiate the public comment period on that document in the month of May, hoping that it would span the ICANN 56 meeting, where we're considering a potential community engagement session, and with a view to then revise the framework and potentially release the final framework, a first instance of the final framework in September of this year. Any comments on the feasibility of that timeline, John and Alan?
Hi, John speaking. I'm just in dialogue with Alan at the moment to make a concerted effort now to really act upon the latest feedback and via conference call and mailing list try and hit that April draft deadline. There might be some sticky issues along the way, but it would be. I think we've pushed back two or three times now on deadlines, so I wouldn't want to do a fourth one. To be honest, we're nearly there. We see the framework at the moment as a frame. We want to just meet in the middle and turn it into a framework, and we're not too far off that. Hopefully, thanks.
One. Thanks, John. Alan?
Yeah, and from my point of view, I completely agree. I think I personally would like to see this move along as quickly as possible and proceed. Now, there are a few more comments, and I've talked to John about this. There are a few registries who now have come in and provided some comments, which are, they're a little bit late in the day, but at the same time, I've impressed on them that, look, if we are going to add anything to this, we need to do it sooner rather than later, because we cannot be the standing in the way, and these things should have been raised earlier. So I am pushing very hard, as hard as I can, shall I say, to get all information in. But with regards to the PSWG comments, I absolutely agree. I think myself and John, concerted effort, let's get this, all registries on the same table, get the PSWG at the same table, and that we get this through by April. I think I'd mentioned to you, Fabian, that the possibility of whether or not there was any opening for meeting possibly during the GDD summit, if that people were open to that. But again, that's post the April deadline by a good 3 weeks. So let's aim for April and hope that we won't have to consider anything outside of that.
Yeah, thank you, Alan. And before I give the microphone to Theo, I just wanted to say that we can also hopefully organize one or several drafting team conference call if that can help moving the ball forward. We're here to support that, so please let us know
as soon as we can organize such a call. So that might be a way, Alan, to help with the consultation if we were to try to aim to finalize the framework before the GDD summit.
Absolutely. Thank you. I appreciate that, of course.
Theo, would you like to comment?
Yeah, just a quick question to Alan, and this is Theo for the record. Alan, is there something we can do from the register side to assist you guys?
I do think that the registrars, of course, have a really important part to play in looking at this and saying, yes, this is something that they definitely can come on board with. I mean, absolutely. I mean, let's maybe I'll, you know, talk to you about maybe provide you with the draft as it is, because we really do need to bring this draft back to the entire group, which includes you as well, obviously, and get your impression on it as well. So definitely let me feed you back into this, because I am aware that, you know, you're a very valuable source as well, and I don't want you underused either.
Okay, thank you, Alan. We'll leave in touch then.
Thank you, Theo. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so I think we've covered the ground we were hoping to cover in our session, and we may even be able to give 15 minutes back to everyone, which is pretty good news in your busy agenda and ours as well. So let me just make sure we don't have any other additional comments or questions before we close this session. I'm looking around the table, in the audience, in the chat. So we seem to be all good. Thank you all for participating here in the meeting or remotely. We really appreciate your time and participation. And we look forward to the subsequent development, to the finalization of framework as well, ideally by the end of April. Thank you all.
Lovely. Thank you, Fabian. Thank you all.
Thank you, Alan.
Bye-bye.